Babs Night Out, one of my favourite She Had songs in the world. And now the band joined me in studio. Four members, though, to two mics. How's it going to work? You'll have to talk in quite closely.
All good.
John Toogood, Tom Larkin, Carl and Phil. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
You guys are just about to jump on a plane and head off to Wellington for the world premiere of the She Had movie. That's kind of random.
It's totally random. Weird. It's weird.
Will there be a red carpet?
Apparently so. Yeah.
Hopefully it's not too long.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not too long. And if the weather's bad, it'll kind of go very kind of dark, kind of
and get blown away.
Maroon.
I'm going to wear red shoes so people do think I don't have any feet.
That's good.
So it molded nicely. That was John saying he's going to wear red shoes. Any of you other thought of, does it matter what you wear tonight? Is costumes important?
No, that's why I just went shopping.
So the movie's out. I have to be honest to the listeners. I haven't seen it, but yet I've read reviews already. It's called She Had, Beautiful Machine. It's a documentary about the life of you guys, or the 23 years that 24. The band... 24. That the band have had. Mm. And I get the impression that it's quite honest as well.
It's brutally honest. Uncomfortable viewing. Well, at least for the four of us.
A comfortable viewing for us, but probably quite a good watch for people, whether they like us or hate us. And it's, I think Sam Peacock is an incredibly talented film maker, and he's made a really good movie, basically. And we just happen to be the subject matter and the ones having to do the interviews for it. It's nothing to do with us, you know. It's like, he's just made a great movie, you know.
Were you surprised at what he sort of dug up, in
yes,
a sense?
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. Mm. I said to him after watching the rough cut, thanks a lot for making a great movie. You know, it's like, it's not a fan picture at all. It's like it's more of a human story about, you know, artists in New Zealand and what happens when you take it overseas, and the effect of doing this sort of job has on family and friends and yourselves and your own brains. And it's a really cool movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be involved at all in terms of what the band has been up to, because I mean, we were afraid that it was going to be a typical puff piece, you know, the kind of thing that you'd kind of catch on kind of MTV or something like that. It wasn't at all.
Cribs.
More just like, you know, oh, and so what were your influences on that album? And they faced a couple of difficulties, but then signed to the, you know, just that kind of really kind of train spotter fan thing. And we didn't get that at all. It's
so
a real
what,
movie.
What did you get? What did yeah?
Well, it's a confrontational look. At the band's career, you know, for all the peaks and all the troughs, and nothing's really left out, you know. It's not as tough as Living Through It was, or as kind of, you know, there's some stuff that's been left out for the sake of the story, which I think is actually good from a film perspective, but it's involving, on as John was saying, on a human level, and that's what it is. You don't have to care about the band or anything like that, and that's what we were so proud of when we saw it. It was like, this just doesn't feel like it was generated by our PR department at all, you know what I mean?
It's actually a really fascinating documentary.
I didn't feel like it. It's funny when you said documentary before, because I guess that's what a lot of people think, but I didn't feel like I was watching a documentary. I felt like I was just watching an amazing piece of film work.
Mm. Which is a documentary.
Not like a documentary.
No, but not like a documentary as in, you know, let's dissect this piece of music apart or anything. It's interesting.
It's a human tale.
A human tale, a band tale, a 4-0 tale.
And a very New Zealand story as well, I think, you know.
Yeah, lots of people are talking about how you guys describe your band as a relationship. It's like a girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
What type of girlfriend is she? Or
A little bit schizophrenic, troubled, egotistical, insecure,
needy,
arrogant,
smelly, farty,
childish, loyal, disloyal,
never quite satisfied,
but 24
lazy,
years later, still there,
lazy, determined,
yeah,
alcoholic, straight edge, fat, skinny.
Well, I read a review that it does go into drinking and drug problems and stuff like that. Yeah. It's really honest, because I haven't read much media about that. And I guess the New Zealand media sometimes doesn't like to talk about that sort of stuff. Or the record companies definitely wouldn't really want that sort of stuff discussed.
No, I'm sure it sells albums, though.
Yeah.
I'm not
Yeah, the problem with New Zealand is that the drugs just aren't good enough to get a real problem.
But you guys went to America, went to Australia.
Yeah, they're good over there.
Yeah, sweet. That's what I thought. Do you remember the first time you ever came up to BFM?
Oh. Kind of. It would have been with Simon Coffey.
Yeah, it would have been when
he was calling himself Psycoff.
He still does, I think.
There you go.
Oh. Yeah,
it would have been with Simon Coffey, and then you know it would be one of those things where because we were young and new to the scene, and everyone would be going, "Oh, Simon Coffey, man, that guy's such a dick," and we'd be going, "Why?" And then you'd do an interview with him. "Oh, did you do an interview with Simon Coffey?" "Yeah, didn't listen." Like going, what's going on here? What is this political crap? We just want to play metal and sound like Metallica. Yeah.
I remember being here with Tom and chasing Jason Newsted up here to get his autograph. I got him to sign a $5 note for me.
I didn't chase him. You chase
no,
him.
We came to.
You like him.
It was obviously when you came up here, it was for Churn. What would it have been?
No. It would have been Devolve. Our first ever kind of, you know, interviews up here.
Well, I couldn't. I tried to find. I've only got Churn. That's your earliest recordings I've got.
Okay, well, there's an EP before that called Devolve, and we had demos up here. I mean, we did our first kind of touring up here with a band called Enigma. That was like at the power station. It was all like 1988, 89,
yeah,
around that area, you know.
And does the film talk about that era?
It has got it in there, yeah, for sure.
I want you to choose something off tune for us to play.
Screw Top or
Factory
or Derail or Factory or.
It says that Derail scratched.
Does it say that?
Yeah, it does.
Factory.
Yeah, let's go for the first song on the first album.
Yeah, the first song on the first album.
Any tricks or stories or anything to go along with this song?
It's Jazz Coleman's backing vocals.
Yeah, Jazz Coleman's backing vocals.
That's why it sounds like this.
And it's got acoustic guitars in the verse as overdubs.
And it's got some great Richard Burton dialogue samples.
They don't sound like acoustic guitars, and we were very kind of perturbed by them when he made us put them on, but now it sounds characterful when you're mature and away from it and not worried about the fact that you're using acoustic guitars. Is it metal enough, that acoustic guitar? But the acoustic guitars in the verse is quite weird.
If you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face. We'll be right back.
That is from the album Churn. It is Shehad, who joined me in the studio. Tom, John, Carl, Phil. I haven't ever had all four of you in studio. It's quite exciting. I know John Toogood's style in studio, though. I love it. He dances around whenever I turn, play a song.
He's been described as Bugs Bunny in real life.
Early
but not
Bugs Bunny.
An early Bugs Bunny. Not specifically the early Bugs Bunny, not the later, kind of more Warner
what
Brothers.
What is the early?
It's kind of darker and kind of wirier and kind of more kind of speed-ridden.
That was actually Randy Staub, the guy who mixed the General Electric. When we were working, he just went, "You're like an early Bugs Bunny," and I was like, "What? Why an early one?" He's like, "Yeah, not the later one." Not the
I like that. I'm going to think of you next time I watch Bugs Bunny. I think. hey, tell me on that song that we just heard from Churn, it was Jazz Coleman doing BVs.
Yeah.
In the chorus, you guys were trying to point it out to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
He sings really loud. But so how does it work? You're working with him again. Potentially,
yes.
Oh, so it's not locked in yet?
Well, we're locking it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone involved wants it to happen. We love the random idea of going to Cairo and putting ourselves in a weird situation, then writing a song based on that sort of experience.
Is that where he's
or writing
based?
An album on
yeah.
that.
Cairo, Egypt.
Egypt. And then going to Spain, south of Spain, and recording. Finishing it off.
That would be amazing. And what timeline are we looking at?
September.
October.
This year. Yeah. Have any of you been to Cairo before?
No.
Fun times ahead. That'll be cool. You wonder what sort of music will come out, which,
Well, the Muslim Brotherhood should be in control of the country by then, so it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, we're going to contrast from Holy Wars Against America, we're going to go and go to Egypt. So.
Yeah.
I think Jazz, the place should be on fire at that stage.
Perfect for...
for making a heavy record.
Yeah,
which
completely.
Which is what we all want to do. So.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. That's the plan?
Heavy yes, record. I think so.
Yeah.
Heavy. Lots of scrapes.
Stops. No harmonies. Well, we might have some harmonies, Jazz.
No, he doesn't want harmonies.
Don't worry, the harmonies. I'm surprised he wants stops because he didn't really like stops when we were doing Chant.
What are stops?
When you
stop the music.
Like doing stops.
But stops so they get singing bits.
Stops are quite. You guys do lots of stops.
Yeah.
It's
like a stoppy
stardy bit. He wants more of them. In fact, we're going to stop all the time.
I can't wait to hear it. Maybe early next year we'll hear a new single.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. So before I let you go to jump on the plane for your movie premiere, how random is that? Back in Wellington where you started, you'll be walking the red carpet.
Walking the red carpet.
Will you watch the film tonight when it's been screened?
Yes, I will. Unless my daughter plays up, in which case I'll be taking her out to the foyer and playing with her.
Because
counting to three.
So you know how sometimes the movie stars don't watch it when the audience watches it?
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Johnny Depp.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to do?
Apparently Johnny Depp hasn't seen anything that he's filmed.
Well, fair enough.
Really?
Yeah.
He'd have to freak out at how...
I think
blindingly good looking he is.
You guys should totally
watch
it.
I
must admit that once we've done a record I barely listen to it, and really I only would go back to that record years later in a retrospective way and go, oh, that's right, we did that. But yeah, there's definitely something in spending all that time doing something and then just wanting to sort of walk away and let it happen.
Yeah, of course.
But I think we'll be there to watch the film tonight.
Yeah
I'm funny. I've got to say I'm a little bit in two minds about it.
So it opens up in New Zealand cinemas tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will be breaking the box office numbers this weekend.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think...
That's a new pressure, isn't it? It's where are we going to debut on the charts? It's like now we've got movie pressure.
But it's not our movie.
I know. In fact, we don't care.
The thing is for us...
Sorry.
It's actually nice, but not just being the subject matter of something rather than, the actual producers or directors or whatever. What is nice is, Sam has actually made a great movie, which is cool because it's sort of quite a classic New Zealand story, and I think he's done a really good job. So, yeah, it's nice to be involved in that.
Yeah, we love you, Sam.
And just finally, the soundtrack, is there anything special on the soundtrack or that's something that perhaps hardcore fans haven't heard on the album or anything?
Not really. There's lots and lots of early footage, like footage no one would have seen, lots and lots of stuff like that. There's no tracks that you wouldn't have heard before. There's a particularly good early video for a song called Dead and Buried, which is highly embarrassing, but it's well worth it.
It's like got a leather waistcoat. gold. Okay. Or was it leather? No, it wasn't even leather. It was just a waistcoat.
Just had a waistcoat.
So soft.
It's
really, and Frank Flash directed that too, didn't he?
Yeah, he used to do What Now. Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, kind of. Have fun. Have fun. Safe travel. Stay here because I need to take a photo of you before you go. I don't know what song to play. All your
play. You wanna,
wait. What's that other one there?
Fish.
That's Fish.
Oh.
It's Fish. Oh, you're probably sick of all these ones, eh?
No. Oh, Ghosts from the Past or something like that.
Boat song.
What track is this?
Oh god, I don't know. It's a good track.
Put it on random shuffle.
Alright.
La La Land's good.
La La Land.
There you go.
Alright, totally.
Five.
Okay.
Yeah, we shot that video at the power station, so there's a bit of a.
Yeah, there you go. Auckland.
Alright, and the next Auckland show, have you got any planned?
Oh, we did the power station Menace Hits one, and I don't think we're going to be coming back.
Yeah, people will be getting sick of us.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that.